I want you to dig into your bulletin, and I want you to come up with this insert. And I want to say this. This diagram is on the prophecy of Daniel 9. And I want you to know that the rabbis have cursed this prophecy. They have said, cursed is the person who reads the prophecy of Daniel 9. Cursed. And we wonder, why is that the case? Well, take a look at this. In Daniel 9:24, it says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city. So you look at the top of the chart, you see 70 weeks. And by the way, everybody understands that that 70 weeks stands for 490 years. And notice, this is Gabriel, the highest angel in heaven, telling Daniel, Daniel, you've got 490 years for your people and your city to get its act together. That's what it means. Now that's verse 24. And here's the curse now, verse 25. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, I just calm down, you mathematicians, okay? He goes on to say, God has told me to tell you that your people Israel have 490 years to get their act together. And by the way, 483 of these years from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince is 463 years. Of the 490 years, you got the math? And so what's the big deal here? Messiah the Prince is a direct reference to Jesus. And we know that the commandment went forth in 457 BC. And you go 483 years and you arrive at 27 AD. 27 AD is exactly when Jesus was baptized. When he was baptized, he was anointed the Messiah. It's dated in Daniel 9, 25. That's why the rabbi said, cursed is this. It dates when the Messiah would be baptized. That's Jesus. Now notice it says that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, his baptism, will get us to 27 AD. That leaves 7 years of probation of the 490 years. And then notice what it says in verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, after the Messiah's baptism, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Friends, after 62 weeks where Messiah is baptized and becomes the Messiah, sometime after that, it says he'll be cut off. Now, cut off is the Hebrew term for killed. And notice it says not for himself. Jesus didn't die for himself, did he? He died for us. And then when we look at verse 27, here's what it says. Then he shall confirm the covenant for many in 1 week. Remember, there was 1 week left. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifices. And so Daniel 9 literally states that Jesus was baptized in 27 AD and was crucified in 31 AD, 3.5 years after his baptism. Now you see why the rabbis cursed anybody who reads this prophecy. That means that after the death of Jesus and he rose, there was 3.5 years still that God allowed Israel to have a chance. What a merciful God we have. And so I bring to you today, the Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the church. Miraculously, folks, in that 3.5 year time before the close of Jewish probation. Let us pray. Oh, Father, you are incredible, unbelievable, predictive, merciful, gracious, loving, kind. All wrapped up into one God. And now make sense of this, Lord, so that we can see our church and each one in it to grow and prosper according to your will and to grow your kingdom, which is desperately needed, Lord, at this time of Earth's history. So bless to this end, Lord, and use me in spite of me to be a blessing, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the second chapter. We're going to look at this 3.5 years. By the way, the 3.5 years would end in 37 A.D., Jesus was baptized in 27 A.D. 3.5 years later, he was crucified in 31 A.D. And 3.5 years later, probation closed for the Jews when they stoned Stephen. Okay. Acts 2:36. Before I begin reading, I want to remind everybody here that the disciples were broke, defenseless, uneducated. All authority was opposed to them in every possible way. They had no resources. They had no backup. And they were looked down upon as a racial slur. These are all Galileans. And Galilean is just north of Jerusalem and considered to be the malign class that was looked down upon by the sophisticated, educated, religious leaders and rich people of Jerusalem. And there was 120. 120. Let's imagine our church being 120. Okay, verse 36, here we go. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Savior. Okay, verse 36, I am starting with the conclusion of Peter's sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost. And he never prepared for the sermon. The Spirit was poured out. The disciples talked in foreign languages, astounded, confused the people, and then Peter preached. And he concluded with, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Savior." 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut in the heart and said to people and to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Oh, that the Paradise Church only had 120 uneducated, broke, poor, untrained, maligned members of the church. And the Spirit is poured out. And suddenly the population of Paradise Church goes from 120 to 3,120 people. Yes, amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that happened? And by the way, back then, I checked as best I could. I really did as best I could. And I figure the population of Jerusalem at that time probably accurately would be about 100,000. Now, I looked and I saw conservative estimates of 60,000, 70,000, 80,000. But after scrutiny by a reputable group, they decided it's more like 100,000 people. So you got 120 church members for 100,000. And then all of a sudden you got 3,120. But I'm not done yet. Let's look at verse 46. Verse 46. "So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." Daily. Now, I'm going to get into that daily, but not yet. I want to make sure you're really settled into this incredible experience that took place simply because the Holy Spirit was poured out. Acts 5:14. "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitude both of men and women." So you see, we went from, "and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." And we skip to chapter 9 and it says, "And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. They were all healed. And it says, then the high priest stood up. The high priest stood up. He stood up because after the day of Pentecost, when the sermon was preached and 3,000 were baptized, it said they were added daily. And then in chapter 5, it says multitudes. Not only that, if you would read it carefully as I recited it to you, Peter, his shadow would walk by and people were healed. Do you remember the broke, defenseless, uneducated, the authorities completely opposed, no resources, no backup? They were looked down upon. And when Peter's shadow passed by and the other disciples worked miracles like Jesus did, the people were now siding with the disciples, who are defenseless, broke, uneducated, no resources, no backup, looked down upon. Well, I'm going to get to that. And when it says, and then the high priest stood up, do you understand? I cut off the rest of the verses. The high priest stood up. The high priest stood up and said, we got to do something. We got to do something. This proscribed class of individuals who we felt we would squish as a bug are spreading everywhere and people respect them. Acts 6, verse 1, now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So forgive me. Let's just look at the first part of verse 1 of chapter 6. Now, in those days, when the numbers of the disciples was multiplying. See, there was 3.5 years left of probation. And folks, when it says here in the Bible, when it clearly states 70 weeks are determined for your people and the holy city, we're going to give you God is going to give to you 490 years to get your act together. And what did they do? They crucified Jesus. They rejected the Messiah. And Daniel 9 predicted he'd be baptized in 27 AD. And 3.5 years later, he'd be crucified. But God gave him 3.5 more years. And in those 3.5 more years, it said, and now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying. Okay, so let's look at this. 120, and then 3,120. And then let's conservatively say that they added to the church daily one person in the 3.5 years left of probation. So let's do this. Let's take 360 days. That's 1 year. And let's multiply 360 by 3. Remember, there were 3 years and 1/2 a year. So 3 times 360 is 1,260. And then we've got to add the half of year. Remember, 3.5 years. That's 180. And now we have 1,440. But we have to add the 1,440 to the 3,120. And now the church in 3.5 years' time, very conservatively, is now worth 6,240. Amen. Amen. That's what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Folks, there are going to be miracles performed just like Jesus did. But it'll only happen when the Spirit is poured out. And the Spirit is only poured out in answer to prayer. I can't wait to get to heaven and find out what the population of the Christian church was after 3.5 years. I'm just conservative saying over 6,000. Now, let's stop just for a second. How would you like the Paradise Church to have 6,000 members? And it is possible. It is possible because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is what we need to be praying about and seeking. This is why we need to form prayer groups. We need to break out of our comfort zone. Call one another on the phone and say a prayer once a week or once every other week. Whatever fits you. And when we start doing that, miracles are going to take place. They're going to take place. We're going to have an experience like we've never had before. We will discover what worship really is all about. Caring for one another. You know, when we usually have at least one testimony every Sabbath. This Sabbath we didn't. It's next week. It'll be Chuck Betts giving his testimony. But yesterday in the this morning in Church on the Go, and by the way, there was 96 people at Church on the Go. And Wendell Lederroot had his testimony. And Wendell Lederroot went to the doctor, found out his PSA was 75, which is out of this world. And the doctor looked at him and said, "You have cancer of the prostate." And then the doctor said, "By the way, I can't see you for 1.5 months before I can work you in." And we're praying for him with the astronomical amount of 75 PSA. He went to the doctor and the doctor said, "You don't have cancer." Amen. And then for a month and a half, he was praying. And God answered his prayer. Friends, this is not an occasional thing. And that's why we're going to continue to have testimonies so that we will wake up and see that God is ready to do things that will literally stand us on our head. Not COVID. Miracles. But it'll only happen when we pray. Well, let's go back here just for a second to Acts chapter 8. For you see, Acts 6 and 7 is Stephen preaching and they stone him to death, marking the last day of the 3.5 years left of probation of the Jews. 3.5 years after Jesus ascended. And what happened? Now Saul was consenting to his death. Acts chapter 8 verse 1, by the way, interpreted that means now Saul was consenting to kill Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entered into every house and dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the gospel to the Samaritans. And by the way, and then he went to Philip, the Ethiopian, then he went to the Ethiopian, I forgot his name. Yeah. And baptized him. The Ethiopian eunuch. Thank you. And then what happened? Saul was converted. Saul joined the enemy in the midst at the end of the 3.5 years. Saul joins the ranks of the enemy, becomes a Christian, and begins to preach everywhere. And then Peter preaches the gospel to Cornelius and the other non-Jewish people and baptizes them. Friends, this is going to happen again. Let me tell you this. I want to be part of this. I don't want to be left out. And I'll make you a pledge. And that is that the work of God will be so grand and glorious when we get our act together and really pray sincerely for the Holy Spirit. There are not going to be any more sermons. It'll be person after person coming up front saying, look what happened last week to me. Look what happened last week to me. Look what happened. And people will pack this place during Sabbath school. Ken Nabb was very depressed. And he even wondered if God really knew where he was. He happened to be on a vacation with his family. They were driving their camper from where they lived all the way across country from Yakima, Washington, all the way. And they got to Dayton, Ohio. And he was very, very discouraged. Didn't tell his wife, didn't tell his kids. They were having a grand old time. And then they said, Dad, let's eat. Let's eat. We're hungry. Come on, Dad. Okay. Ken said, all right. But then he said, you know, I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat. So you guys go and I'll sit in the camper. And when you come back, we'll keep heading out. And so he was sitting there. asking God, do you really know where I am? And then he looked up and he saw a Dairy Queen. And he thought, you know what, I am not hungry, but I could use something to drink. So he got out of the RV and he started to walk. I locked it up, walked down the street towards Dairy Queen. Before he got to Dairy Queen, there was a gas station. And when he got right in the middle of the gas station, all of a sudden, a payphone starts to ring. And Ken looked at the payphone and thought, what do I do? That phone's ringing. It kept ringing and ringing. I guess being a good pastor, he decided I need to answer that phone. He answered that phone. The operator said, I have a long-distance phone call for Ken Gobb. Are you Ken Gobb? And he was like, lady, are you crazy? Come again? I have a long-distance phone call for Ken Gobb. Are you Ken Gobb? And then you know how you think things really quick, and all of a sudden it went, I'm on candid camera. So he sort of stepped out of the booth, and he's looking. Nothing. And the impatient operator says, are you Ken Gobb? I have a long-distance phone call for you. And he went, yes, I'm Ken Gobb. And all of a sudden, interrupting the operator, the whole proceeding, that's him, operator, that's him. Oh, Ken Gobb, you got to help me. I need help really bad. You don't know me, but I know you. I saw you on TV in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to kill myself. I want to die. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm writing my letter to say goodbye to everybody, and all of a sudden in my mind, your name came up. And he said, So I said, Lord, and then numbers started coming to my mind. I got my pen out and I started writing the number. He said, I was so desperate that I finally decided to call the number. Ken Gobb, you have to help me. I'm going to kill myself. And Ken Gobb ministered to the lady, got her calmed down, spoke to her, got her back on the right track. And then she said, are you in your office in California? Ken Gobb said, I don't have an office in California. I'm from Yakima, Washington. Well, where are you right now? And Ken said, well, you should know you're the one that called me. I'm in Dayton, Ohio. And suddenly it clicked. God does know where we are. He even knows our telephone number. Friends, these miracles will be multiplied in the last days as we pray for and seek for the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, wake us up, please. We sure like to see the multiplication that only God can do to happen here at Paradise. We want it to happen worldwide, Lord, not just us. But if you want to start here, that's okay. Wake us up, Lord, please. Help us to see reality as it really is. So that more and more people can come to know what a great God you are. How merciful, gracious, loving, and kind. and how you're desperately waiting for your people to stand up for you and help anybody and everybody possible. Bless each one who's here. Keep us safe and healthy. And thank you for your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to invite you to join me in the closing hymn, which is 269, Come, Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Oh, Father, do this for us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.